Kicking off the 1 o'clock hour, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. It is a Football Friday right here on the Zone Sports Network. I'm here in South Carolina, the Myrtle Beach Invitational. You'll hear some games going on here in the background. By the way, Hans, Penn is making a comeback. They now trail Davidson just 29-26 with 3:36 left to go. You're a real degenerate if you've got a financial interest in this game.
Does somebody that you know have some?
No. Oh. Well, I mean, he might be producing the show, but.
Lloyd.
Okay. I'm not going to take this from you guys.
Need a little extra cash for the holidays, eh, bud?
Nothing like dialing up a few C notes on an Ivy League game.
You know, I met up with some friends for a cornhole tournament last night, and they all said, how you guys portray me as this big booze hound is not cool.
Yeah. As you suck back on another.
No, because they said, hey, do you want me to buy you a drink? I said, no, I'm good. I don't really drink. And they, really? They make it sound like you drink a lot.
Well, if we do, we apologize, because that is certainly not the case.
No.
You're a very responsible adult.
Just nobody, like snow cones.
We know you don't roll up to kids' snow cone stands. Yeah.
And we know
I did that one time.
And we know you've never written your name on a wall. It's the weekend, buddy. It's a freaking weekend. Gonna have us some fun. Telling you, man, this is awesome. This is a big weekend, Scotty. This Utah Oregon game. We just had their play-by-play guy on. He's all juiced up. Jerry Allen was pumped. You know, obviously, you listen to Kyle Whittingham. Kyle Whittingham's trying to keep this kind of monotone bass, but you know underneath he's about to explode. These players are just pumped and excited. These Football Fridays, that just doesn't get better than the number three team in the country coming into Rice-Eccles Stadium on a great schematical matchup with two of the best linebackers in the country between Noah Sewell and Devin Lloyd. In fact, I should do a quick number roundup, because Noah Sewell's got 79 tackles, I think, on the year, 8 pass deflections. Let's see, where did I put his numbers? Yeah, 79 tackles, 8 pass deflections, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. And then you got Devin Lloyd, who's got, what has he got now, 6 sacks? No, he's got 7 sacks. Devin Lloyd's got 7 sacks. You think about these two linebackers alone. It's big-time matchup, and then you throw in this octane offensive rushing Oregon Ducks team against this Utah team that's resurgent, found their identity. It doesn't get better in college football than what we got here at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
No, this is as good as it gets. And I believe we'll be giving away a pair of tickets a little bit later on for that game.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
That's a good ticket to get right now.
I know, right?
And all people have to do is listen.
All you need to do is listen. For all you Ute fans out there, gather around the radio. We'll be giving away tickets. Maybe in about 15 minutes or so.
Stay tuned.
So I get the sense, and I wasn't part of the Ute preview show yesterday, but I do get the sense that you feel pretty confident about this one.
I'm feeling pretty good for the University of Utah.
So on a, let's say, you know, a percentage, where are you at on a Utah win?
80%.
Wow. Really?
Feeling pretty good about a Utah win. You know, I know we look at this Oregon team and we just look at the ranking. But, Scotty, how often have the rankings actually meant anything? They just don't.
Oh, they don't. You're right. 100% right on that.
They don't mean anything. And, you know, I've looked at this Oregon team and the games that they've played since that Ohio State game, and Christian and I went back and forth on this Ohio State game. You know, going through the first two games of a season, by the time you get to game 6 and 7, you don't even remember. That feels like a completely different world. You know, where your team was, how you were performing, how you were feeling, all of that is so far in the past, it's hard to even reflect on that and pull confidence from it. Now, you do have a team confidence because right now they've put 5 wins together since losing to Stanford. But listen to the teams they've beat and the scores they've beat the teams by. They beat Cal by 24-17. They beat UCLA 34-31. Was that overtime? I can't remember. They beat Washington 26-16, and they beat Washington State 38-24. The only exception they've got of a blowout in there is Colorado beating them 52-29. They still gave up 29 points. If you go through that list, giving up 31 to UCLA, 24 to Washington State, 29 to Colorado, they give up points and they don't have a passing game. I think they might have some semblance of a passing game, but they had like 90 yards through the air against Washington. I went back and watched that game. There was like 90 yards through the air against Washington. If you can take Anthony Brown somewhat out of the rushing game, if you can hit him and force him to give the ball, then you really isolate it down to the two or three running backs that they've got. You take Anthony Brown out of the running game at all, and I think you force this Oregon team to be pretty one-dimensional. Extremely, actually, one-dimensional. You know, this is a team, Scotty, that right now they're 84th in the country in passing offense. They only put up about 200 yards a game through the air. And this is a team right now that can't defeat the bottom 100 in the country in defending the pass, giving up 250 yards a game. So I look at this Oregon team, I look at some of their struggles, I look at the points they give up, and I look at the fact that they've got to come in here to Rice-Eccles Stadium, one of the most violent, and I'm using that in a fan term sense.
You're good.
One of the most violent environments that a college football can come into and try to play in, especially in the Pac-12. And you know that stadium. Hey, Utah fans, arrive early and arrive excited. Because the couple times that I've seen that this year, it's led to a quick turnover. I think it was BYU-Arizona State, if I'm remembering right, Scotty. Arizona State came to Lavelle Edwards Stadium. You had probably 60,000 fans at least in the stands before that ball was kicked. Ball's kicked into the end zone. Kid brings it out of the end zone, fumbles it like on the 15-yard line. BYU gets the possession right there at their own 15 for a quick score, which was a momentum shift. That's what fans can do. And then I think in that game, Arizona State was offsides like seven times. I want to say that they had like 13 or 14 big penalties in that game that were a result of crowd noise and just the overall environment. Utah fans, student section, you guys can all change how this game is played for Oregon. It affects the audibles. I've been on an offensive line when I can't hear my quarterback, who is just about 2 feet away from me. I can't hear my quarterback making his audibles or calls or adjustments. You know, I'm trying to call out Mike linebackers, and I'm trying to re-identify Mike's as from safeties back to Mike's, and my guards and tackles can't get those calls. The running back, a lot of times you'll see running backs kind of take two steps forward and try to dip their ear in. They're trying to get that call for Mike identification. When you're crazy and you show up to a stadium early, you can absolutely affect what's happening on the field. And Utah fans, you've got an opportunity to be a big part of what happens this weekend. But Scotty, when I throw in all of those factors, yeah, I feel like Utah can get a win, and not only can, but they should get a win.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And honestly, I know you asked the question. I was I popped the headset on and heard a little bit of your interview, and you asked the play-by-play voice, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that this is a college football playoff worthy team? And he goes, oh yeah, absolutely, yes. I don't know, man. You go through some of those scores.
Yeah.
That doesn't scream college football playoff team to me.
Nope. No, especially when you look at their loss to Stanford on the road, the same Stanford team that Utah blew out by 50-some-odd points or put 50-some-odd points on. You know, that is not a good Stanford team. In fact, Scotty, Stanford is on a 5-game losing streak. Listen to this, Lloyd. Scotty. Stanford has not won a game since they beat Oregon.
That's a bad loss. That's such a bad loss.
They have not won a game since they beat Oregon, losing to Arizona State, Washington State, a bad Washington team, Utah. Last week in Oregon State blew them up.
It's a big L, Lloyd.
Stanford has not won a game since beating Oregon 31-24. And I know everybody blinks. But that was a road game, and that is not a violent environment. This is This is going to be a tough road game for them. And, Scotty, there's a reason that Vegas has Utah favored by three. Now, they're trying to draw a line so everybody brings their money. But right now, they've drawn a line where everybody's looking at it like the number three team in the country against a Utah team that, okay, yeah, they've come along, but a Utah team that lost to a Mountain West Conference opponent and an independent team and an Oregon State team that's been struggling. Oh, yeah, that's easy. Big money on Oregon. I think that they know, they see what I see. And that is a Utah team. And I made this comment with Lloyd. I think maybe it was at the end of that interview. I think that Cam Rising's a better quarterback than Anthony Brown. I think he's a better quarterback.
And I don't disagree.
My sample size is really Washington State, Washington. I know he's been around. I feel like he's been at Oregon forever, but he's only been there a year and a half. And I feel like he's been in college football ever, because I remember when he was transferring out of Boston College, and you remember he was the true freshman, and then he had that crazy sophomore season, and then a junior season, and then he got a COVID year. He comes back in this transfer, and now he's in that super senior year with Oregon. But I feel like he's been around forever. But I think that Cam Rising, through seven starts or whatever it is, I think he's a better quarterback. And so, yeah, I favor him. And, yeah, I give him a higher percentage to win this game.
This is a really good situation for Utah, because if they win this game, which I think you and I both believe they will, they get the credibility of a win against Oregon, against a team that might be overvalued. So you get that win, but you also get a win against a team that I really, you know, I'm with you. I think there's a certain level of overvaluedness that's gone on with Oregon, and they're getting a lot of credit and they're getting a lot of credibility for a game and or for a season that, frankly, I don't think has been particularly that great. Now, Look, the win at Oregon or the Ohio State, you can't deny that. That was incredible. There's no doubt. And Ohio State is great, but they're not the Ohio State that what we've seen in years past. So there's a lot of good things certainly going on, but at the end of the day, this is a game that I think Utah can win. I think they should win, and Utah should have their ticket punched to that Pac-12 championship game. You know what's interesting, though, here, Hans, and just to play the role of contrarian here a little bit, this might not be a bad game for Utah to lose. And let me tell you why. Because if Oregon wins and runs the table, and Oregon beats Utah in a Pac-12 championship game, Utah's going to a Rose Bowl. If Utah beats Oregon in the Pac-12 championship, they're going to the Rose Bowl. So if they lose this game to Oregon and Oregon runs the table and they're in their college football playoff, then Utah's still going to the Rose Bowl regardless of whether or not they win or lose the conference championship game. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough way to look at it, but that's probably an accurate way to look at it. But I just can't imagine. Okay, I'm going to give you what I could see happening with Oregon. I could see them losing at Rice-Eccles Stadium tomorrow, and then I could see them losing to Oregon State. I know Oregon State's not good, but I've also seen an Oregon State team that can really get it going on the ground. And, you know, we've seen crazier things this year. I know Oregon State has had some struggles down the stretch, but they've got Arizona State at home, and then they're on the road against that number three Oregon team. I could see Utah causing Oregon to lose twice, and I could see that being a real problem for the Pac-12 too. But I get what you're saying. I understand that kind of the scope that you're seeing that from. For sure, I see it.
Yeah,
but I still think Utah wins that game. But
no,
you're
I
right.
Do too.
But you're right. I, it's not the worst loss in the world. You're going to be able to overcome that. You still got big things in your path if you do overcome.
Yeah. Now, if you lose to Oregon, and then Oregon goes on to lose to Oregon State, then you really just shot yourself in the foot, for sure.
Well, and that's my biggest fear.
And which is completely well within the realm of possibility.
Yep.
All right, 125, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, be listening. We'll be giving away tickets to that game coming up here shortly. Utah and Oregon. Big one going up in Logan, too. Utah State squaring off against Wyoming. If the Aggies win that game, all they'll have to do after that is just make a road trip down to New Mexico and beat the Lobos, and they will be in a conference championship game. And if somehow San Diego State trips up along the way, Utah State may be hosting a conference championship game. BYU in a game in which they will win and they will win easily is playing at Georgia Southern. So another big weekend of college football, a lot going on. You're listening to 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Unrivaled.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
What are the odds that Mark Harlan calls Kalani to just chat about things in the next couple of years? Is that totally insane to think that Kalani would entertain a job offer from Utah, a place that he's pulled the paycheck down from before?
Here's why I say yes, it's a possibility. Ooh. And I say yes because Kalani Sitake would be phenomenal at Utah.
Oh, boy. I hated even hearing that come out of your mouth.
But he would. I mean,
it sounded disgusting.
How he would recruit and what he could bring to the program.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scotty G, thanks for making us part of your day. As we are live here in lovely South Carolina, the Myrtle Beach Invitational. Hans is back in our studios in Salt Lake City. Hans, before we get started on the good, the bad, the ugly, shall we?
Yes.
Shall we do it?
Yes.
Caller number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. And you, my friend, will have tickets to see the Utes in action as they square off against Oregon.
Come and get it.
If you want those tickets, come and claim them.
Come and get them.
855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. Let's go.
Scotty, yesterday we did the 85th caller. How about the 145th caller?
I told you bring it on. I know how to do this. This is my first rodeo. I'm not like some rookie.
Lloyd took phone calls until 6 p.m. trying to get... and then he made a not funny joke and said we don't have 85 listeners. And that upset me.
Oh, boo.
You tell him who made that joke.
Who?
Is that Christian?
No, it was me. I said, yeah, but our six listeners can each call 20 times, and we'll get there eventually.
All I know is I perused Christian's new website last night, and that was interesting.
Yeah, you might want to watch where you
hey, by the way, on. You're what one letter you away on? From going into a very bad place, too. On that website. Like, I told my wife the address and asked her to check it out.
Yeah.
And I misspelled. I added one letter. And let's just say my wife was not pleased with the site she was taken to.
They're at the point of the mountain at the internet monitoring site, the government internet monitoring site. There's a big red bell that's going off somewhere.
Yep.
Identifying Scotty G's house as a hot point.
Yeah, let's just say be very careful.
Be careful.
You use an E instead of an I, and it's going to create all kinds of problems for you.
Hey, Scotty, a few things that we need to get to in the good. I know you gave away tickets, but we got two other quick bits of good. Lehigh now leads 35-6, so it looks like they're going to seal that state championship up. So good job, Lehigh. And I remember a few years back, Declo made a run to a state championship, and they signed a helmet and gave it to you, which yeah. you cherish.
Yes.
And I know it sits proudly.
In Lloyd's office.
Oh, I wasn't sure to say that. It's on display here in the studios.
I'm in between offices right now. As soon as there's something, some level of stability there, then it'll go in there.
Weezer is taking on Sugar Salem at 5:30 today in a state championship game. It is a do or die situation for Weezer, and I want all those boys with the Wolverines to know that I got your back. Go get them. Go do what I couldn't do.
You never got that elusive state title, huh?
No, not the football one. Snake River got us in the state championship game my senior year.
Ah, Snake River, really?
Snake River got us.
I saw that...
No good Snake River.
Yeah, Brianna tweeted out something about that they beat Gooding in the playoffs. I'm like, well, hey, if you beat Gooding, I'm all in on.
Because you hated Gooding.
I hated Gooding.
Gooding comes across as a place that might be good. It should be called batting or batting. Sucking. Because there's nothing good about it. It's like Greenland and Iceland. Somebody screwed something up there.
Yeah, no, it's no bueno. You know, and it's not a fun place.
Yeah.
And the fact that Weezer took care of them, that's a good sign. I don't know what classifications you're in, because I think you were always played up a level from us, but
yeah.
Gooding was always in our conference growing up. We played Gooding every year.
You guys were A3?
Yeah.
We are A2. And it's reversed, or was it reversed in Idaho? There were only three divisions, and it was A1 was the top, A2 the middle, and A3 was the low end.
There was an A4, too.
Was there an A4?
Yep.
Oh, we just didn't hear about that.
And then there was a eight-man division, too.
So A4, is that like Jerome and Gooding?
No. Jerome, I think, was A2. Gooding was A3 with us. They were in the old Canyon Conference. And then like places like Oakley and Raft River, those were A4s.
Oh, okay.
And that is way too much Idaho high school history for this show.
Yeah, but, you know, state championship times are fun, though, Scotty. It's a great time for high school kids. And good luck to Corner Canyon and Lone Peak, who face off tonight.
You know what? I'm not a huge consumer of high school athletics, but that Corner Canyon Lone Peak game, I'm going to probably make my way back to the hotel room and fire up the old DVR app and maybe watch that game, because I think that's going to be a fun one to see.
I'm with you.
All right, Hans, let's get to it. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's start with the good.
So yesterday we saw the Thursday night game. The Falcons get completely destroyed by the Patriots, 25-0, an embarrassment. I don't know if you got to see that game, but the Falcons threw everybody they had at the quarterback position onto the field, and they couldn't do anything. And the guy that was stopping them cold, former BYU linebacker Kyle Van Noy.
Yes.
8 tackles, 2 or 3 sacks. I want to say he had a pass deflection at the line, but I can't remember. I thought that was him. Kyle Van Noy was a menace against the Falcons. So they beat him 25-0. Of course, Kyle Van Noy has this great night. So the cast and crew of NFL Network's postgame show called him up to their booth that they have, and I can't remember who all is a part of that show. I think it might be Steve Smith still. I can't remember the other dudes. Oh, maybe it's Michael Irving. Is Michael Irving on
that? Yeah, I think Steve Smith is on that crew.
So Kyle Van Noy is sitting there at the desk, and some Atlanta fan yells something about – and by the way, Scotty, it sounded like he was mic'd up. He yells something around the lines of, "Hey, mother beep. You are an beep hole," and then a few other things. It sounded like he was mic'd up, or at least 5 feet from the mic.
Oh, wow.
And it came across, went on air, and all you see is Kyle Van Noy kind of turns to one of the hosts, and he goes, "Yeah, man, I'd be mad, too, if we went 25-0 last night." That it was just kind of a smooth, like, yeah, he's mad. He kind of goes, "Oh, whoa, calm down. I'd be mad, too, if you go 25-0 in a loss tonight." It was just
good,
smooth, scoreboard trash talk. And I love seeing Kyle Van Noy do good things in the NFL.
And you know what? He's obviously – his career got off to kind of a dubious start with Detroit. And he was pretty close. And, I mean, he's come on the show a bunch of times and said, like, yeah, they just didn't know how to use me. You know, they'd talk to me in the off season like, "Well, we don't know how to use you out there on the field." Well, he goes to New England, wins a couple Super Bowls. They know how to use him because it's Bill Belichick. He goes and gets his big contract with Miami, and then after he's done in Miami, he comes back to New England, and they've reeled off, what, 5 in a row now?
Yep.
So after paying your dues and losing a lot of games in Detroit, it's kind of good for him to get out there and enjoy some winning.
I'm with you, man.
Yep. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
This is a scary story, Scotty. Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai has not been seen for 17 days and counting as of today. And this is scary because she accused a former Chinese Communist Party leader of sexual assault on November 2nd. it created a significant concern with so many different people, and she has not been seen since the accusal. She's a French Open champion. She's a Wimbledon doubles champion. She is a mainstay in the world of tennis. Has accomplished so much, and nobody can find her. Nobody's heard from her, and people are getting really scared. Her family, obviously, is the most involved on this. China's foreign ministry made a statement today. It went much more in detail, but essentially, Scotty, they said that they were not aware of the situation, the accusal, or the fact that she has not been seen or heard from in 17 days. But let me just tell you, Scotty, this is horrifying to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrifying. She claimed that retired Vice Premier Zhang Zoli forced her into sex 3 years ago in a since-deleted online post to the Chinese social media site Weibo, and she has not been seen since. That is horrifying, man.
Yeah.
And it's tough because when you're talking about China and you're talking about the Communist Party and their leaders, there's not a lot of people that have to answer questions.
No, no.
And could you imagine your daughter, one of the most accomplished athletes in a country's history?
Yeah.
And you can't find her? You don't hear from her? You just know that she came forward because she was sexually assaulted by a vice premier? That's crazy to me. This story makes me really sad, and I hope that they find her, but 17 days is just too long, Scotty.
Yeah, it's you hate to make assumptions on how this thing is going to end, but you kind of, or how it may have already ended, but you kind of get the vibe like it could be heading in that direction. And, I mean, this is, we talk about how there's a lot of people that complain about what life is like in America, but these are stories where, and kind of the Enes Kanter thing. I mean, I think Enes Kanter could have a very, very ugly fate in his life if he ever were to step a foot on Turkish soil again.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, we talk about, you know, there are people that complain about America and some of the things going on here, and we're not without faults, but it could be a whole lot worse. Let's just say that, like, this is it's a pretty scary situation over there for sure. And this is, and again, hopefully she turns up and hopefully everything ends up being fine. But Hans, I don't know, man. It sure doesn't feel that way.
It scares me and makes me really sad. But we'll keep people updated on any news that comes forward on that. It's one of the crazier stories I've seen in sports in my years on air.
All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Hans, Tampa Bay Buccaneer wide receiver Antonio Brown has been accused of obtaining a fake COVID-19 vaccination card, according to the Tampa Bay Times. Times reported that, according to Stephen Ruiz, a former personal chef for the wide receiver, Brown had his girlfriend, Sydney Moreau, reach out to Ruiz over the summer to obtain a fake card that said Brown had received the Johnson & Johnson shot, according to a text messages provided by Ruiz. Moreau offered $500 for the card. So why does he go public with it? Well, he said that Brown had failed to pay him $10,000 and gave the Buccaneers the names of the two players with fake vaccination cards. All right, so let's just say that this is true, that he does have a fake card, and Ruiz was the one that delivered it to him. Here's the thing. If you're going to use somebody to do some nefarious activities on your behalf, you better make sure that you're compensating them fully.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
I mean,
because it's a federal crime.
I mean, Barry Bonds' needle guy is probably still in jail, right? But Barry Bonds took care of him, so he's not saying anything. He's keeping his mouth shut.
You should have seen Lloyd when you just said that. Lloyd was having a good day. Lloyd's in there eating a sandwich, having a good day.
Eating a sandwich.
And you say something about Barry, his whole countenance falls right off the stinking chair, Scotty. Why do you do that to our Lloyd? He's just a little guy trying to have a good weekend.
Just a little guy. don't
patronize me.
No, you look skinny. Eat a sandwich. Eat two.
Is Lloyd, you dropping some LBs?
Look at you. Stop chewing on pretzels. Eat chips. Pretzels don't have enough grease. Get some meat, some fat.
No.
Do something. You're fading away, man.
No, I'm not. Okay, this is not about me. This is about Antonio Brown.
No, this is about Barry Bonds. And Barry Bonds wouldn't fly away in a hard windstorm.
Well, and
you would.
And Barry Bonds would have paid his $10,000 bill to make sure this guy kept his mouth shut.
Hey, so there's a couple of things to this, Scotty. So, number one, I mentioned it. It's a federal crime offense to produce a fake vaccine card. You can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
And secondly, the NFL went to great lengths to express to teams, number one, you better verify every one of these cards. Because if you don't, we're talking about a federal crime. We're talking about big scandals. We're talking about big issues. So what teams did, they brought all of their players in for a very lengthy meeting expressing to them the importance of their vaccination card and to not falsely identify themselves as vaccinated.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be a federal crime. Otherwise, they would be subject to suspensions and big-time fines. And now they're going to go back, and they're really going to dive deep into this. And if we don't see Brown on the field coming up in the next couple of games, well, actually, he's been out, hasn't he? Has he?
He's not even been back from the
ankle injury yet, is he?
Yep.
So maybe we can't draw it upon that, but we will see a big fine. And we'll see some issues. You know, this thing with Aaron Rodgers became such a big storyline and such a big stir and a distraction. Now, he wins one game and we're all right back to hunky-dory.
Yeah.
But have you noticed that?
Yeah, but the difference between what Rodgers did and Antonio Brown did, Rodgers, all he did was say, oh, yeah, I'm
immunized.
Good
point. Yeah,
so
good
he
point.
Has said that. Like, it's which, not like he has a fake document or
which
anything.
Which apparently he was holistically immunized. But, yeah, that's a really good point. Like, he actually presented the team with a falsified identification, a vaccine identification card. That's a big, fat, ugly no-no.
And I
see his name and I think about the association and I think to myself, this is possible. Because he's done a lot of dumb things.
Yeah. Yep. I know that's the thing. It's kind of like, you know, a lifetime achievement award with him. You just don't give him the benefit of the doubt anymore.
Yep.
So, all right. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Coming up next, Whole World News straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Cougars. And the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
After a much-needed bye week, Kalani Sitake and the Cougars begin a two-game stretch to end the regular season on the road as they square off against the Eagles of Georgia Southern. Catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 7 with a postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
Hey, Coach Ron McBride hanging out in here in studio. Lloyd, did you send him here? Is he supposed to be here at 2?
Well, not at 2.
What time is Coach Mac supposed to be
here? The show starts at 3,
Coach. The show starts at 3, Coach. Oh, 3. Unless you really want to come on with Scotty and I. But we can, because we've always got room for you. Okay. Hey, pull up this mic. Are you just coming from that state championship game?
No,
So Coach Mack's in studio with us. Lloyd, flip that mic on. Yeah, no, it's fine. We love it, Coach. I like to think of it that you were just excited to come talk with Scotty and I. Did you just come from that state championship game?
No, I was at home.
Oh, Lehigh just got a win over.
They whipped up on.
Yeah. Really so nice win.
That was like, what, 32 to something?
Yeah, 36 to 6 or something. 32 to 6. Yeah, somewhere in that range.
So who's the coach at Lehigh now?
It's still Coach Larson.
Oh, he's still there.
Right? Yeah, Ed Larson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that they just announced a new head coach at
Juan Diego.
At Juan Diego.
James.
How about that?
Hey, that's really good.
I'm excited to see him get that opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Coach, are you prepared to do a full 3 hours now?
Hey, I don't know why I thought it was. What did I get? I thought it was 2 to 4. So I messed up.
You know what it is? It's the old coaching gears that kick in that if you're not an hour early, then you're late.
Oh, my God. I was thinking I was worried that I was going to be late, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking, I walked in, I didn't see anybody here except you, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'm in the wrong spot.
Yeah, because it's close to two.
Maybe I'm supposed to be at the warehouse. I don't know.
Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts, too, really quick. Lone Peak and Corner Canyon, they're going to be kicking off here in a bit.
Yeah, I watched the Lone Peak game last week.
Yeah. Wait, the you're talking about the semifinal game?
Yeah.
Did you watch the Lone Peak game where they beat Corner Canyon?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
How did they do it? Because they whooped them.
Yeah, they did. And it just was one of those days where Corner Canyon didn't play well as they have. And the fact that Lone Peak played extremely well.
Were there a bunch of turnovers in the game that you can remember?
I'm just trying to remember back, except they won the game convincingly.
Yeah.
But I don't see it happening this time.
Oh.
You know, I think Corner Canyon is the superior team of the two.
Well, it's Lone Peak is a good story. You know,
it's a real good story because I had talked to the people from Sky Ridge last week.
Yeah.
And they were pretty confident that they were going to win.
Well, yeah, that's a good team.
Yeah, yeah. And they do. Sky Ridge has nice players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they get the Ross boys there, and they got, they got a nice-looking crew, a good coaching staff.
Well, they got Smith Snowden, too, probably one of the best DBs in the high school DBs in the country.
There's no question. I think Sky Ridge has got, they've got a good mix of types of players and types of personalities, and their numbers are really good, so it took a real good team to take them down.
Well, Coach Mac, why don't you sit in with us for just a second, because you might like this Whole World News story today. We do a segment called Whole World News.
Okay.
I go grab different news headlines from all over the world.
Okay.
This one comes from China.
Yeah, about the tennis star?
No, not the tennis star. We just gave that one. This is a different one.
Oh, so, they got more than one story?
Do you watch competitive eating much?
No.
Okay, well, competitive eating has become kind of an online, it's a big buzz. And there's a lot of these competitive eaters that are throwing themselves on some type of live stream, and then they go into buffets and they just consume. And
sumo wrestlers.
This guy, his name is Mr. Kang. He went into a place called the Handidi Seafood Barbecue Buffet in Changsha City, China, and he sat down and he ate over 3 pounds of pork trotters, and then he consumed about 4 pounds of prawns, which I think that the pork trotters
are prawns?
prawns.
That's a lot of prawns.
Prawns are essentially giant shrimp. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So 4 pounds of prawns, 3 pounds of the pork trotters, and he was very quickly blacklisted and disallowed from ever coming back to that establishment again. And he was stopped from consuming any more food.
So
it's an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was
and
an
all-you-can-eat
buffet. Yeah.
And then blacklisted. He can't ever come back. They've got a picture of his face, his name, and it says, if you see this guy,
he's not welcome.
He can't come into our buffet.
Hey, can you imagine? You know how many prawns that is?
Yeah.
You know how much a prawn weighs?
Do you know how many buffets I would be locked out of if this is how this country ran their business? False advertising, saying it's an all-you-can-eat buffet, and when I'm there enjoying all I can eat, them coming up and telling me, not only do you need to stop eating, you're never coming back here again.
Yeah.
That's not right.
That's
wait, you said this guy was he's a competitive eater?
Yeah. Yeah, he's an competitive eater.
Is that considered like considering, is that like being a card counter? No, is that kind of like counting cards?
I don't think it's. No, hey, Lloyd, there's no such thing as a card counter anymore. Because they do multiple decks. Yeah, they got multiple decks.
Now they do shoes.
That could be card counting. Card counting.
I got Lloyd. I think I got Lloyd's back on this one.
What do you mean, Scotty?
He gamed the system. You can't participate in a free throw shooting contest at a halftime of a game if you're a college basketball player. It's a little shady, Hans. You and me, we're not professional eaters. I mean, we'd like to be, and we try, but if I own a restaurant and that Joey Chestnut shows up and I've got an all-you-can-eat buffet, I'm like, oh, man, this dude's going to wreck me.
Scotty, here's the difference, though. This guy is, first of all, he said, this is according to him, he said, I can eat a lot. This is a quote from him. I can eat a lot. Is that really a fault? Every time I go, I clean my plate. So he doesn't waste any food. He just is a hungry person. And so he's just consuming what he would consider all he can eat. So you're going to have to call it all you can eat, with the exception of those that can eat this amount.
Yeah, well,
with the exception of competitive eaters.
Yeah, well,
which China. So according to the story, Scotty, it looks like China is going to stop this. Oh, here's another. Here's the quote from the owner. Every time this guy comes into my establishment, I lose a few hundred bucks. Even when he drinks soy milk, he can drink 20 to 30 bottles of our soy milk. When he eats the pork trotters, he consumes the whole tray of them. And for prawns, usually people use tongs to pick them up. He uses a tray to take the whole thing. So this owner's had it.
Can you see? It'd be like the picture in the post office of a guy, right? this guy is not welcome.
Most wanted.
If you see him,
don't allow him. Coach Mac, he got into studio a little bit earlier. Scotty, I know you had to move positions, but I say we reset this thing and kick this thing off for Football Friday at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, huh?
Yeah, let's do it. Brian Fisher joins us next. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.